Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Happy new league year!
Oh, wow.
It is that day. We're March 13th is the new league year in the NFL, which means these signings that the Broncos have had in the past couple of days can become official. Russell Wilson, he's spending his last 3 hours officially on the Denver Broncos right now before he officially becomes released. And then the Broncos can continue to just make signings and make those things official. And the Broncos have been making some moves today, and we're going to talk about it all on the DNVR Broncos podcast. We've got Henry Chisholm, Super Bowl 50 champ Todd Davis. Yahir is back behind the camera, and yours truly rocking and rolling with you today. Fellas, how are you celebrating this new league year?
I would like to go outside and play, but it's going to be a storm tomorrow, so won't be able to do that.
The Nuggets, the Avs both play tonight. Ooh. Montana's in the championship tonight. Pac-12 tournament starts at like 12:30. So, yeah.
You've got everything you need.
I'm just kind of hoping the Broncos sign one more guy so I can just sit on the couch and go back, watch those games, and call it work while I'm just watching that all day. So
yeah, we'll see.
See how that goes.
They've been pretty slow. I'm going to celebrate by having some trout tonight in honor of the Broncos re-signing Adam Trautman to a two-year deal. I'm glad you got a chuckle out of that. Even though it was a pathetic chuckle, it was still a chuckle.
That was a dad joke, for sure.
Yeah.
Adam Trautman is back. Lil Jordan Humphrey, about 10 minutes ago, the Broncos re-signed to a one-year deal. Both former Saints. Sean Payton keeping the band together. Lil Jordan Humphrey, former Texas guy. So we're really seeing how the Broncos like to put their teams together. Uh-huh. Former Saints and former University of Texas players. Mm-hmm. Do these guys move the needle at all for you?
I think they're both solid players, but I think they're both solid players.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't go into the season probably with Greg Dulcich, Nate Adkins, and Lucas Kroll as your tight ends. Just kind of asking for trouble there. I think a lot of people might have hoped that the Broncos went and got like a real weapon tight end, somebody who can go get you 500, 600 yards, but those guys went off the board. And, you know, Adam Trautman, solid player.
Yeah, I'm right there. I mean, good depth for the Broncos at both of those spots.
He's a starter.
if Greg
Dulcich,
would
be good depth. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he's a guaranteed starter. Okay. If Greg Dulcich is healthy, he's probably the starting tight end one. Adam Trautman will still see the field, even if Greg Dulcich is healthy. But I think the biggest thing that people kind of were worrying about, specifically with Adam Trautman, is what I saw a lot online was, does this take us out of the Brock Bowers sweepstakes? No, and that's what I mean about him being good depth. Mm-hmm. Like, both of these moves don't keep the Broncos away from drafting a wide receiver, mm-hmm. signing a wide receiver, signing a tight end, drafting a tight end. Just good, solid players that the Broncos got back.
Yep.
The other move, bless you, Yahir, the other move that the Broncos didn't make, which I think is the biggest news of the past since we were last on this show, Josie Jewell is officially gone. Todd, your former teammate, get in the bag. with the Carolina Panthers signing a 3-year, $22.5 million deal in Carolina.
Yeah, he definitely deserves this, man. I think he's undervalued and underappreciated around the league. But once you've worked with him and you've played beside him, you know how big of a piece he is to the defense. And he went to a former defensive coordinator. I think that shows you, like, when he had a chance to go get a linebacker, there was plenty out there. He was like, I know one that is hardworking, dedicated, knows his assignments. You don't have to check on him. He's going to get everybody right. He knew who he was going for the minute free agency started. So I think he says a lot about Josie, and just congrats to him. And I want him to take me out to dinner with that new paycheck.
Or, like, fly you out to Carolina and then take you out to dinner.
I think he can handle that,
Wine and dine you? Yeah. You want Josie wine and dine you?
Whoa.
There we go. That's Alex Singleton last year, too. That was his big interest, was from the Panthers, which makes sense. Again, it's Ejiro Evero. Makes sense they wound up there. I do think it will be good for him also. Those are kind of like cool uniforms. And he doesn't have like a bunch of like sweat. Like Singleton, of course, has like the big sleeve he wears. I think like the black and the blue kind of, it'll pop. He'll look good.
It's weird. You didn't tell Josie to his face about his lack of swag.
It came up in the show.
Now you talk about his lack of swag.
It came up in the show.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't remember if I said anything. I would never say anything.
Well, Hank, you're our, is he going to get fined for pulling out the outlaw? The guns, you're going to have to continue to follow that for us in Carolina.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're going to be watching Panther games now.
Well, they'll add a couple of fans.
A couple.
Since they don't have
They'll double them.
but I'm really happy. I mean, a raise for Josie as well. If the Panthers valued him at over $7 million a year, how much are the Broncos losing with Josie going?
They're losing a lot. I think he's been that man in the middle for quite a few years, and he's somebody that you can really count on. And when other people continue to go down, he's there, steady Eddie, in the middle of the field. So it's going to be a big hole. I don't think people realize how much of a hole will be there until they try to fill it. Somebody's got to fill that hole, though.
No, pauses there? That was a lot for you with no pauses.
But I'm not filling them. I'm just saying that is out there. It's a hole there. That's someone else's hole.
Somebody's going to fill that hole.
Well, I don't know. They could call you to fill the hole.
I could coach who's filling that hole.
There you go.
Fill it.
Also, I mean, you're losing the whole middle of your defense there.
Yeah.
Like, when you lose Josie and Justin, that to me is a tough combination, especially like modern NFL. It's like kind of like that T shape. You want to get the lines sharp. You want to get like the middle of your defense fixed up, and then you can kind of figure other parts out. When you lose Justin and Josie, who have been making all those checks, making all those calls back there, that's a big transition.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's why Alex Singleton, this is now his defense. Yeah. And it's like not even close, because Alex was part of the communication last year, but it was also Josie and it was Justin Simmons. And don't forget with that combo too, Kareem Jackson had been there for so long, was the starter to begin the year last season. Now you lost Kareem. Now you lost Justin Simmons. Now you lost Josie. You look around, and obviously Pat Surtain is by far the best player on the Broncos defense, but even like vocal elite corners don't really have that type of communication role, because they're as far away as anyone on the defense. So it's the inside guys, specifically the inside linebackers, specifically if you have like a veteran guy you can trust, and specifically if you don't have that in those other roles around you. And that's exactly what the Broncos are dealing with right now. So Alex Singleton's going to have the green dot. Alex Singleton's going to be the leader, the vocal leader of this defense, and also like the mind of the defense.
Yeah, it's his defense. He's the man. It's crazy how much things change, you know, when a few players leave, but it's completely the Singleton defense for the next couple of years, and I'm loving to see what it turns into. But it's going to be very different from how I think the two other guys, Justin and Josie, chose to communicate. They're very good communicators. Not saying Alex isn't. I just know them to be like over communicators, similar to how Jones is, how you saw him film. That's how Josie and Justin were. So interested to see how everything goes. I think it's going to go well, but just a new regime, kind of.
Yeah, big time new regime. So who's going to fill Josie Jewell's spot? Is it going to be someone on the roster? Jew Sanders, Jonas Griffith. Right now, Justin Strnad's a free agent, so they'd have to sign him in order to bring him back. Or is it going to be someone in the draft, or is it going to be a free agent? Which route do the Broncos take? Because that is a big hole to fill.
Yeah, I think that they're going to give Jonas Griffith a shot. I think he kind of was given a shot maybe 2 years ago, and they were kind of saying, like, you know, potentially could be his. And since then, he's played well on special teams, then got injured, hasn't really been able to, you know, fulfill his full potential. Mm-hmm. So I think they're going to give him a shot, as well as maybe draft someone. I don't know who is in the open market right now that you would really want to come in and be a starter day one. Mm-hmm. So they have success drafting linebackers. I think they maybe draft somebody, throw the fourth round, give him an opportunity to come in here and play.
Yeah, I agree. I think right now it's between Jonas and Drew Sanders. Jonas got, like you said, his chance, wound up getting hurt, and that's why Alex became a starter, was filling in. You do worry about a guy who's, like, I think that was, week five he got injured and missed the rest of the season. Last year he just missed the entire season with a torn ACL. Like, things happen, but there's a bit of an injury history there as well. And with Drew, obviously, the Broncos seem to be leaning toward putting it outside linebacker as things stand right now. If this is your team, you're playing him at inside linebacker because you just need him as a body right there. If they add somebody, if they draft somebody, things could change, but it'll be interesting.
Man, I don't disagree with what you said, Henry, but I just hate that if they take that approach. Like, we really think he probably should be an outside linebacker, but we don't want to pay $7 million to bring Josie back, so we're kind of going to mess with this really talented, this guy who has a lot of talent. We're going to mess with his progression and move him inside, even though we don't think it fits him best. And this is what George Payton said at the Combine when asked if Drew Sanders is inside or outside. George said, "It's a work in progress. We thought he finished well on the edge. We're going to sit down with Drew and the coaches, and we've had those meetings. I think he'll probably end up on the edge, but he has that flexibility. So he's talented. It's hard. It's kind of like Baron Browning. We interviewed a kid last night," this is at the Combine, "from Notre Dame who plays inside and outside. It's a blessing, and sometimes it's a curse because he can't get settled into one position. Once we left Drew at outside, he finished strong, and so we feel good about Drew moving forward." When I hear that quote, I'm pretty sure at that time they knew that Josie Jewell was going to go sign somewhere else to get a big paycheck that they didn't want to pay him. So they knew that they were going to have a spot open next to Alex Singleton. And George kind of admitted it there, like, we feel better about him on the edge. That's where he really started to shine. But we might have this hole, and it could actually hurt him if we keep bouncing him around. Just, I think the plan should be exactly what you laid out, Todd. It should be Jonas Griffith. Mm-hmm. But as Henry said, the injury concerns are there. So you do have to have a backup plan, whether that's re-signing Justin Strnad. But also, you have, they have five day three picks. One of those, I think, will absolutely be an inside linebacker.
Yeah, it has to be. They got to cover all the bases here. I know they're rebuilding, but you need a steady inside linebacker. That's key.
Yep. And the thing with Drew, like, if you keep him at outside linebacker, he's probably your fourth outside linebacker, and you go get him 8-10 snaps a game. If you move him inside, like, he's got a chance to compete for a starting job. And so I think that has to factor in, is, like, where are you just blocking him on the edge, or are you giving him an opportunity? I mean, what we saw, obviously, was that he was much better on the edge than in the middle, but also in the middle, that was the first time he'd ever been on an NFL defense. And so who knows if he's come around a little bit.
Wait, who's truly blocking Drew on the edge?
Benito, Browning, and Cooper.
You think those guys are... I mean, if Drew takes, like, a step this year...
Yeah. I mean, there's a chance he could be in that conversation, but I mean,
to be,
like,
one of the two starters?
You just have three of those guys who played well, and you have Drew, who's, like, a rookie. And so if that's the case, then you're blocking one of those guys, who's one of your better young players. And so it's just right now with that hole right there, the opportunity to get him reps, if you think he can handle it, has to be pretty tempting. I also think it could be kind of nice almost learning the defense from the outside in, just because you have, like, simpler responsibilities out there. So you kind of understand what they're doing first, and then maybe you can take that knowledge and be like, okay, here's how he's got that edge. Here's how he's got that. Does that help you see what's going on in the middle?
Not really, to be honest. Because the middle is so complicated.
Mm-hmm.
From the day you step in, you should know these two edges are gone and you have so much else to learn.
Fair.
There's not much more that they can give you besides letting you know that they're both on the edge, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's not much knowledge to be learned and taken back inside. So I think you just have to be able to learn as an inside linebacker what your job is, because it is a lot more complex. And maybe that's why he has success on the outside, because it is just kind of like...
run forward.
Yeah. See ball, get ball. You may drop a couple times a game, and that's pretty much, you know, your responsibility. On the inside, it's a lot of checks, a lot of movement, a lot of moving parts, a lot more to contend with.
The other thing with Drew that I hope that George and the coaches and Drew decided this shortly after the combine so that Drew can get in either outside linebacker shape and bulk up a ton or kind of stay where he's at right now and be an inside linebacker shape because those body types are different. And if you're going to be full time at one of those spots, you want to be you don't want to prepare for that at the start of training camp or even in May and June when OTAs start. You want to prepare for that now because Drew does need to bulk up if he's going to be on the outside and not just be like a pass rushing specialist on the outside. And so I hope they let him settle into place because we saw them ruin DeMarcus Walker by bouncing him inside, outside defensive line, outside linebacker. That just totally crushed his time with the Broncos. And Baron Browning, it seems to be a good move that they moved him outside, but in reality, like, he hasn't put together a full season where you're like, damn, that was a good move that they moved him outside. So we haven't seen that yet. So it hasn't been a resounding success yet. So I imagine that there's a different body type, right, Todd, that for inside and outside?
Yeah, it's definitely different, and you have to be able to prepare, just like you said, a little bit differently. You got to get your stance right. You got to get your, you know, hat and hands right. It's definitely different being on the outside than being on the inside. But I don't like playing guys where it fits us best and not what is best for them. Mm-hmm. Like, I think if you draft players, you get players. If it's an outside guy, play him outside. If he's an inside guy, play him inside. Mm-hmm. Don't bring an outside guy and see, hey, we need help on inside. Yeah. Could you play? Like, I think it's better just to have everybody play what they're best at.
It's exactly what they did with DeMarcus Walker.
Yeah.
They said, we want, what was it? We want you to be a defensive lineman. And then I think it was Bradley Chubb got hurt. So then they said, actually, because of a need, we're going to move you to outside. And I totally agree with you. And if you have too many outside linebackers, the Broncos are still trying to figure out the outside. I know what you mean about, like, someone's going to be left out. There's no doubt. But I just wouldn't want to mess with that. If the Broncos are going to go into free agency to sign someone, there are some big names out there. But where the Broncos are right now, it doesn't make sense to go out and pay a big one-year deal for Bobby Wagner or sign Devin White to a massive deal at all. They might sign a Malcolm Roach type of player, a $4 million, $3 million player to come in and start along Singleton if they don't feel comfortable about Drew Sanders. They don't feel comfortable. They want some depth with Jonas Griffith. But I don't expect a big move there. If they were going to do a big move, it probably would have just been keeping Josie there for $7 million.
Yep.
Probably. I do think the longer we get into free agency with all these linebackers still on the board, the more likely it is the Broncos can just jump in and grab one for less than we expected.
Yep.
And so when you have, I mean, Devin White's at the top. I don't even remember who else is out there. Bobby Wagner, I guess Jerome Baker. The names aren't that big. I guess it's mostly Devin White. Eventually you get to a number where if you can get him for $13 million a year, then it's pretty tempting because he can be a total game changer. But that might be another week of him just sitting out there before that can happen.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. And Henry, you brought up a good point earlier. You got the Nuggets and the Avs playing tonight. Nuggets only 3.5-point favorites over with our friends at Bet365. It's rare to find the Nuggets being just that close to even end a game. And tonight, the Avs, it's pretty much a pick'em game with the Canucks as well. So if you parlay Nuggets and Avs to cover the spread, or for the Avs to win and the Nuggets to cover the 3.5, plus 281. Both teams are really hitting their stride. Nuggets are 9-1 in their past 10 games since the All-Star break, and Avs are looking really nice as of recent as well. So those are really good odds. I might have to get in on that over at Bet365. And if you're a new customer, Bet365 is going to hook you up by getting either a $150 in bonus bets when you place a $5 bet or a first bet safety night offer by placing a bet up to $1,000. And if your qualifying bet loses, you receive a match refund and bonus bets. So check them out over at Bet365 and use that code DNVR365 to get those. Must be 21 or older, physically located in Colorado. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, once help call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.
And shout out to our friends over at Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light, of course. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold package. It's cold 24/7 from the time that it's brewed. When it's time to refresh, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment, crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. You can't beat it. You know, it's the number one beer that we love here. You can get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/DNVR. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
The Broncos have opened up over $60 million in cap space in 1 week. They have over $40 million of cap space right now. So the question is, what should they do with it?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I said yesterday, I don't know what they're planning. Because they could be trying to eat this whole Russ cap hit, but by doing that, you're just moving around. It's the same thing as like if you bought a car and you were like, oh, I'm just going to pay this off all right now. And to do that, I'm just going to take out a bunch of loans. it doesn't make sense. Like, just get the car loan. It's way simpler. And it doesn't really change anything. And real world examples are different because there's like interest rates and all that. But in this case, you could eat the Russ money, but then you're just creating other people money down the line. So I don't know why you would create all this space specifically through the restructures. Like, if you're going to cut players, trade players, that makes sense. But when you're restructuring and clearing, they've probably cleared like what, $25 million bucks in restructures, pretty close to that.
More than that. More than 30. That.
Over 30. Yeah. I mean, I don't know why you do that unless you're planning to spend it, but I also don't know why they would spend it. So, or even who they would spend it on. So in terms of what they're going to do, I'm at a loss. From my perspective, I would say you still just eat as much cap space, cap hit, roll as much over, get yourself out of cap hills as soon as possible. But what they've done doesn't really align with that for any reason I would understand.
So you mentioned the Russ deal. And what they could do is right now, when I say they have over $40 million, that's by taking $35 million of Russ's dead cap this year, and then 50-ish next year. They could take all 85 this year. I don't expect them to do that, but kind of the middle ground for that is instead of taking $35 million cap hit this year, they could take a $53 million dead cap hit for Russ this year, which would be about an additional $18 million. My guess is that's the route they're going to take, is take kind of that middle ground. Take more of Russ's cap hit this year, then that leaves them with about $30 million in dead cap for Russ next year. And that's what they better do, because then, let's say they do that, then they're down to like $20 million of cap, or just over $20 million, and then you have to save what? Just over $10 million for the rookie draft class, since they have 8 draft picks. So now, in reality, you're left with like $10 to $15 million in cap space. And to me, you better not spend that. Like, obviously, you have to fill out your roster, but don't go out and spend money, because all of their actions this past week have showed us we're rebuilding. It doesn't make sense to go and spend every last dollar when you're rebuilding. Save that, roll as much over, pay off Russ's dead cap as much as you can this year, and then roll that into next year.
Yeah, but it still doesn't make sense because, again, you're just pushing $30 million of money to the future to pay that extra, whatever, $20 million, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
But I don't think the Broncos have the money to pay the $85 million this year.
Oh, exactly. But I mean, like, if they're paying the $50 instead of the $35, and you're paying for that by pushing another $17 million or whatever to the future through restructures, you're literally doing nothing. Like, nothing changes cap-wise in terms of, like, cap now, cap later, whatever. It doesn't change anything, and that's why it wouldn't make much sense to do it that way, at least for any reason I could think of.
But they've already done the restructures.
Exactly.
So it doesn't make sense to go spend that money now, because then you're literally just hurting yourself for the future.
Exactly, but why did you do the restructures?
Because you don't have the same cap burden after next year, though. So it does change something if they pushed it. It depends on how far they pushed it, right? Because you don't have that same cap burden after next season.
Yeah, but then you could also have just restructured deals next year to do the same thing. I mean, they did what they did. I'd just be curious to hear.
Yeah, it's a good question. Why? I don't know. But one of the things that they did with these restructures, because they restructured the three biggest contracts they gave out last year. They restructured Mike McGlinchey. They restructured Ben Powers. They restructured Zach Allen. And at least with Ben Powers and Zach Allen, one of the things they did, which the Broncos have not done maybe at all in my time covering the team until now, is adding void years onto contracts, and that's a big Sean Payton New Orleans Saints thing. And essentially what that means is we're going to take dead cap hits when you're no longer on the team. Mm-hmm. And so maybe they or extend those guys and kind of absorb it that way moving forward. But we're already, that's like really truly kicking the can down the road is when you do that.
Zach Allen actually already had void years. He had multiple void years at the end of his deal. And I think he had two and they added a third.
Mm.
And so then all of that just hits when he's gone. But yeah, they're pushing money down the line. But again, it's like already, you're pushing money down the line to pay off a bill that you could just have split in the exact same way. So I don't know.
So what this boils down to me is since they're already kicking the can down the road, and what you're saying, Henry, makes sense about how it doesn't really make sense why they would do it this way instead of just do it the other way.
Yeah.
But what this tells me, they cannot go out and just spend every last dollar of cap that they have this year, because then they're putting themselves in such a bad position by kind of pushing things down the road already, just carry over. So when you see these numbers on social media and online, and the Broncos have the ninth most cap space in the NFL right now, over $40 million, don't think it's that they're going to go out and they're going to sign Bobby Wagner and they're going to go get Calvin Ridley and they're going to spend all of this money. For the most part, they're obviously going to continue to sign guys, but it's going to be the Malcolm Roaches of the world, where they're bringing in guys from the outside and paying them $3.5 million guaranteed, $4 million a year. And you'll probably only see a couple more of those moves, really.
Yeah, I think it's going to be kind of quiet for us. We're saving. We're savers. Mm-hmm. We're not going out and partying and popping champagne in the club.
Exactly. Damn.
We're sitting at home. We're saving some bread.
We're saving the bread that we got on a loan.
Well,
yeah.
And you want that bread to feed you next year, too, because you already have the loan.
When you could have just not taken the loan and you wouldn't have had to pay the bread away next year. Yes, it is what it is.
What position do the Broncos, outside of quarterback, what position would you like to see the Broncos address in free agency today or next week?
Wide receiver, tight end, corner.
Yeah.
All three of those.
Yeah. Could maybe throw linebacker in there, but probably not as much. Corner would probably be the big one for me. If you get, who's even still out there? Stephon Gilmore's still out there. JC Jackson, I can't vouch for that.
No,
I'd have
to go
see if he actually sucks before I could say go do it. But yeah, if there's a good corner, that would just solve a problem and make things a lot easier for that defense.
Kendall Fuller, Stephon Gilmore, Xavien Howard, Tre'Davious White, who we talked about
Tre'Davious
yesterday.
White would be fun.
I mean, there are some big names out there, but yeah, to me, you're probably going and getting the 25-year-old corner that you identify as up and coming, that maybe a team had as their third corner, just like Brandon Jones last year. That's probably the guy you're going to go get for $4 or $5 million, not a big name guy, in my opinion. I would think Stephon Gilmore, Tre'Davious White would want to sign with contenders too.
I would.
If a contender's offering him money.
Well, that's true.
If the Broncos can just offer a couple $1 million, they might be competitive.
That's true. I think one of the things that would help the Broncos get people in the seats this year is going after a big time corner. And if you want to get those seats, go to and check out our friends over at Game Time. Use the code DNVR to get $20 off. Henry, who's playing at home tonight? It's the Nuggets, right? No, both teams are on the road.
Yeah.
Both are on the road.
Yep.
Damn, because I was going to say, with the snowstorm coming today, typically secondary ticket prices tank. Yep. Man, so no one can take advantage of that. But next time the Nuggets or Avs are in town, you can take advantage of it by going over to Game Time. Use that code DNVR to get $20 off your first purchase. Game Time is going to guarantee that you're getting the best prices on your tickets with the Game Time guarantee, meaning if you find a ticket in the same section for less, they're going to credit you 110% of the difference. So check them out. Game Time. Download the app. Use that code DNVR for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Create an account and use that code DNVR for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed.
Yeah, and if you're just going to be hanging out watching all this stuff in the snowstorm, go over to Circle K and pick up some snacks. They've got all of the like normal snacks, but they also have the things that are their own brand, which we have a bunch of, and they are really good. The popcorn is incredible. The chips are really good. It's all sorts of good stuff. You can go check out at Circle K. And if you join the inner circle, you get a whole bunch of perks. All you got to do, give them your email, give them your phone number. You'll be fully enrolled. Now you just type in your phone number when you get there. First five fill-ups of gas, 25 cents off a gallon. First five Polar Pops are free. Every sixth is free on several items like pizza, the roller grill, dispense beverages, donuts. If you use the QR code on the screen, you can sign up, or you can go to circlek.com/inner-circle for more information. Get a free any size Polar Pop from Colorado Circle K's by texting DNVR to 31310. That's DNVR to the number 31310. Message and data rates apply. Periodic recurring messages per month. Terms and conditions can be viewed at circlek.com.
All right. Speaking of, you said popcorn.
Yeah.
Made me think of their movie theater popcorn that they have at Circle K. Have you guys seen Dune?
No.
No.
Dune 2. Yeah.
Have I you still seen the need first to. One? No. Yeah.
Damn, we're 0 for 3.
I know.
I haven't either. But it's like all the rage right now.
You haven't seen it? Well, you asked us that and you hadn't even seen
no,
it?
No, of course I haven't seen it. I just know it's all the rage.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No.
Oh, it's a book. Y'all definitely yes, see the movie before I book. Read the book.
There's a yes.
Well, have you read the book?
No, I haven't. It was like big. I don't even know what came out. It might have come out in the 80s.
Yeah.
But it's like one of the big, like, no, the movie was 80s. The book would have been well before that. That would have been like early science fiction. It was like one of the first, like, big science fiction books. Is mine. All of that might be wrong. You can go check for yourself if you really care about all that. But yeah, I'm going to go see that soon. The thing is, we were thinking we need to watch the first Dune again before we go.
Oh, so you have seen the first one?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So you got to watch the first one again before we go, but then that takes like a few hours, and then we got to find another time with a few hours. So,
what is it about? Is it just Star Wars?
Or it's what? Not Star. I like it. No,
isn't okay. It like desert vibes?
Yeah, it's good. It's actually it's a really really good movie. It's yeah, it's not Star Wars because you're not like flying around space or anything. It's just like on a planet. I would watch. It's a really good movie. There's a reason people really like it. Second one I can't speak to.
And you can buy the Dune popcorn cups. Have you seen those?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-mm.
How would you explain that?
Well, there's like this big thing, like a mouth with a bunch of teeth. It's like a circular mouth, and you kind of like reach through it.
Mm. And
it's turned into some crude jokes because it can sometimes look like something else. Mm. Yeah. Like the middle of the Broncos defense. Yeah. Then there's the shirts people make. Like, I'm just here to blank the Dune popcorn bucket.
Oh, but, my gosh.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. I'm glad I could carry this Dune conversation you started,
yeah,
Zach.
Yeah, yeah. After not
watching the movie.
Let's see if you can carry this. We know the terms.
Whoa.
You gotta be more clear with your MPJs in the chat. Too many MPJs.
We know the terms to Lil Jordan's Humphrey's deal. What do you think it is? You think it's a big deal, little deal?
Little
1 year.
Yeah.
1 deal. 1 year, 1.8.
Okay. Henry, do you already know?
Yeah.
You know? Todd, you weren't too far off. 1 year, veteran minimum, 1.1, and no money guaranteed.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's still, I mean, you got to remember, what, was it 2 years ago, Lil Jordan didn't even get on the field? Yep. Or did he get a couple snaps from the Patriots before he was cut? I don't remember the whole story, so... Keeping the career alive, that's a good thing. And I mean, I love bringing him back, too. I mean, he is a great blocking receiver, which isn't what any fans ever want to hear. Is like, yeah, our receiver's a great blocker, but it is a nice piece to have.
You need it.
You do need it. And I think, like, he's an easy backup for Tim Patrick just because of the style of play. Tim Patrick adding some more receiving abilities on top of that, which is why he's the clear starter there. But I do wonder if Jalen Virgil could compete for that job because he's another one of those guys who's just like physical blocker and potentially provides more in the receiving game. But that'll be like a training camp competition to me. I think one of those two make the roster. I'm not sure if both do.
And Lil Jordan Humphrey, great depth behind Tim Patrick. And you do have to account for depth behind Tim Patrick because he's missed the past 2 years with injuries. According to Chris Thomason, Lil Jordan did have interest from other teams. But if I'm Lil Jordan, Sean Payton loves me. So, yeah, I'm going to go back there because he played 40% of the offensive snaps last year, played in all 17 games on the offensive side of the ball. So we'll continue to follow the moves the Broncos have made, but we're also going to continue to give you the inside scoop on the players the Broncos have added. Henry did a great breakdown of Brandon Jones yesterday. Now Todd is going to give us the inside scoop on an inside defensive lineman in Malcolm Roach. And I'm trying to drag this intro
I was wondering what that was about.
As long
then I realized,
as I absolutely can.
It's like, wow, that's a lot of slow talking.
As you hear is driving or drawing out this extension cord as long as he can. And he's just going to make me continue to talk here. It's Henry's fault.
Okay,
I
there were a
that.
Lot of clips.
I love
there were
that.
Probably too many.
You're saving himself right there. It's all Henry's fault.
The code's 5280 if you need it.
And here we go. Now anyone can steal our iPad and know the code.
Oh, no. I mean, that's first guess.
So Malcolm, I think he's a pretty good player. I went back and looked at a few games, but I just took four cut-ups, you know.
Not
Henry
27.
Had about 27, so
it's true.
He's putting some pressure on me. But he's a really good interior D lineman. He usually plays the two-eye, which is two-eye is what they call the shade. Is this pen working? Oh, what they call the shade of the guard. So the inside shade of the guard, the two-eye, head up is a two, outside is a three. So he plays the two-eye or the three technique as an interior lineman. And he does a really good job with them. One of the things I like about him is that he has a lot of hustle and a lot of fire when he plays. Doesn't really produce as far as sacks or interceptions. He has one of both in his career. But
he has a pick?
He has one pick.
Wow. Yeah.
They drop him in coverage occasionally.
Yeah.
Dang.
Not like often, but like he'll drop out.
Like Tampa 2 when you need somebody to cover
exactly.
him.
Yeah.
Like 5
yeah.
yards from the quarterback. That's it. He's the guy. But he does a great job of hustle and energy. So this is one where he's just lined up in a 2-eye, gets blocked up pretty well. But he, as you can see, he's blocked up. This is him right here on the edge. He finds a way to get around that corner and is able to provide some pretty good pressure on Baker Mayfield and ends up hitting him as he throws it, causes an incompletion. I think he just has a lot of good energy, good fundamentals, and I think he'll bring that to the Broncos, which is something we definitely need from the defensive line group. So I just wanted to point that out. You know, as a defensive lineman, your tape's not as sexy
it's
true. A safety, you know?
It's true.
100%. And one of the biggest things about him is if we don't talk about him much throughout the season, that's a good thing.
A good thing.
Especially because his strength and why the Broncos brought him in is not pass rushing.
Yep.
It, like you mentioned, the only the one sack in his career. It's to eat up offensive linemen and then let Alex Singleton and the other guys make tackles on the field. It's kind of like offensive linemen. If we're talking about you, it probably means from a defensive lineman standpoint, defensive tackle standpoint, that you just continue to get blown up.
Yep.
And that's not a good thing. If we don't talk about you, that's great.
Exactly. So this is him again, right here playing the three technique. I do think he kind of struggles getting to the quarterback, but he makes up for it another way. So this is just him playing the three technique. This game alone, he had 7 tackles. As a D tackle, that's a lot of tackles.
Yeah.
So he has 7 tackles in this game. He rushes. He's right here. Doesn't get home. It's not really successful. But this guy is about 10, 11 yards downfield, and you see him coming running out the snap. Stack, this is him in on the tackle.
Wow.
As a D tackle. He takes out his own teammate completely. Like, dude was laid out. I thought he was done for a minute. But this is the kind of effort that you want to see from your interior lineman. That's really going to help on screens, on any kind of bootlegs, him being able to run and get to the ball. So, you know, that accounted for one of his tackles that he had to run 10 yards to get. So that's big time by him. This is him right here again, and this is him in the run game. I think he does a great job in the run game. If he's one-on-one blocked, you're not moving him. He's really stout. He's really strong. The only time I've ever seen him get moved is when it's, you know, a double team. But then again, you got 300 versus 600. It's a tough play. So this is him in the run game. And this old lineman is about 300, 310, trying to block him. He's literally holding him off with one hand. And he does this a lot. He's very, very stout in the run game and does a great job of getting off of blocks and be able to make plays. So this is really one-on-one with the running back in the hole. He makes this tackle. He makes his play. Running back has no choice but to run right into him because he's so stout against the offensive lineman. I feel like he does this a lot on tape. So hopefully teams leave him blocked one-on-one because I think he'll win that matchup, you know, 90% of the time. Last clip, because I think we have the gist of who he is as a player. And this was just him. This was my only negative, is that even when he gets one-on-one blocks in pass coverage, this is kind of where he stays. And he makes his money in effort, hard work, and hustle to the ball. But as far as affecting the quarterback on third down, I don't think it's his strength. But hopefully we have some other guys that are going to play on third down that can really get to the quarterback. I think he's primarily an addition in base, playing the nose, and really able to help us in the run game, because up the middle with Josie going, we're going to need some help. I think he'll provide it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like on those plays – occasionally he'll like knock a guy back like a step or two. He's never collapsing the pocket. And like he does a good job of like jumping and getting hands up and doing that sort of stuff. I think he broke up like three passes last year, which is nice. But yeah, he's not a pass rusher. He has like a little burst, but he doesn't have like the speed to actually close even if he gets by a guy.
Yeah.
That's why the Broncos paid Zach Allen $15 million a year last year. Is unfortunately, pass rushing is, unfortunately for Malcolm, I should say, pass rushing is a lot more valuable. So you pay a defensive lineman that can pass rush $15 million when Malcolm might be just as good of a run stopper as Zach Allen is as a pass rusher, but it's just not valued as much. But you have to have run stuffers on the defense. And in fact, right after the season, George Payton talked about what the defense needs. He said, we need to stop the run better. We had an inexcusable four-game stretch. He didn't say this, but it was the worst four-game stretch in Broncos history against the run. And the run defense was just not great all season long. They had to get better there. And fortunately for the Broncos, it's cheap to upgrade that. And according to PFF, Malcolm Roach had the best run stop rate among interior defensive linemen in the entire NFL last year. So just the Broncos with him, with Brandon Jones, they're going for the undervalued, underappreciated guys that they believe can break out when they become full-time starters, like both of these guys are going to be now.
I'm curious how much, because I think I wouldn't play him more than half the snaps. Like, I think that just with his build, he's just not meant to play all that much. Like, I'm not sure he's meant to be a starter.
That's the rotation at D-line anyway.
Exactly. Yeah.
You probably only play 50. If you're really good, you maybe play 60% of the snaps.
Exactly.
Yeah. But truthfully, I feel like he will be our best run stopper day one. And the only reason why he's not making 10 to 15 million is that he doesn't get 3 to 4 sacks a year from the inside. Rushing on the inside is hard already. So if you can just manage to get 3 to 4 sacks, a couple pressures, that's where you get your big payday. But that's literally the only difference between him and somebody like a DJ Jones is that DJ is going to get to the quarterback a couple times a game, affect him a little bit more. But as far as the run-stopping ability, I think he'll probably be our best run-stopper day one.
Especially like the like outside zone runs, like those stretch runs, like because his feet are just so quick. Like he's so strong with the upper body and he'll like fight with guys, but he can run and flow with the play too and then like get in there, toss a guy to the side. I went back, I watched the Vikings game, and so it was a bunch of him against Dalton Reisner. It was a tough day for Dalton. Like, there was a lot of just, like, grabbing, throwing to this side, throwing him to that side, just controlling the gaps. The other one, I went back through the Falcons game with Chris Lindstrom, and that was a little bit different. Like, Lindstrom locked him up, didn't get pushed around that same way. So I'm excited for, like, training camp, seeing him go out with Quinn, Ben Powers, just see what that actually looks like.
Should be a good matchup.
Yeah, it should be. And speaking of his role, he's had the exact same role on the Saints defense his first 4 years in the NFL. His rookie year, he played in 37% of the defensive snaps. Second year, 42% of the defensive snaps. Third year, 37% of the defensive snaps. Fourth year, 37% of the defensive snaps. That's pretty incredible to play the exact same percent in three of your 4 years.
That is crazy.
Yeah. So maybe a little bit more, but Henry, as you said, probably not more than 50%. Like, if he takes a step up, it's going to be more than last year.
Just not his game.
Yeah, exactly. So I really like this signing by the Broncos.
I do too. I think it's a good one.
Great breakdown, Todd. And I also love when we hear from the people, and we're hearing from the people. We got a couple of super chats. And before we jump into those super chats, got two things to say. One, hit us with a thumbs up. We really appreciate everyone tuning in with us. And those thumbs up, they're free. And it also really helps us grow our community and shows us support. So we really appreciate everyone tuning in. And also hit us with a 5-star review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. Henry, could you actually pull up our how many reviews we have on Apple Podcasts? I realize it's not iTunes anymore. And yeah. Spotify, because we are approaching 1,000, which is insane. And we can't thank you guys enough for that support. And I also want to give a shout out to Nick and Nadia. Zach, not me, but your friend Zach says, congratulations on getting married. And don't forget to pay Coach Tucker the money you owe him. Don't let Coach Tucker go without his money. That could be tough. But congratulations to Nick and Nadia on their marriage. And Zach, thanks for sending this along so we could give Nick and Nadia a shout out. Hope you guys have a great wedding. Have you pulled that up, Henry?
946 reviews on Apple.
Okay, so 54.
Oh wait, that's 4,800 star. Oh no, it's a 4.8 review on Spotify. I've never been on the Spotify website before. This is weird.
48,000 stars.
Oh, 1,000 reviews. That's right, on Spotify.
Let's go. Over 1,000 and then over 2,000 collectively. So Apple, let's hit 1,000 so we can be in the 1,000 club there. And I can't tell you guys how cool that is, because that means, I mean, you look at other Broncos podcasts. Any other Broncos podcast, they're in the low hundreds of reviews. For us to be over 1,000 on both is awesome. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate that. And so
it's true.
We're the best. Yeah.
Yeah.
Zach was like, we're the best. Yeah.
We are the best.
That's what I thought you were doing there.
We are the best.
We the best. I know what you're talking about.
There we go.
All right. Let's hop into the comment section. Super chats. The Great Browse says, the only man that could fill Josie's spot is the man to Zach's left. Love you, Todd. Still have your autograph.
Oh,
love
much
it.
Love, man. I appreciate Damn. That. No, he was not talking about you.
For a second, I was like, left.
No. My left.
Your left, not my left when I look at that.
You think you could fill that spot?
I think it'd be fun to watch.
It definitely
would
be. I
think people would be really curious to see what would happen.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, Alex is not talking to you about nothing. There's no communication.
Just like,
figure it out, buddy.
I'm not factored into the run fits.
At all.
No, that's just go do whatever you want to do out there. You're not helping anybody.
Next one coming in from Rashawn, who says, Queen signed for $13 million a year. That would have been amazing. So the Steelers gave him what?
Before we go any further,
Oh, wow. Hell yeah.
Boy, that's crazy.
I couldn't see it. That is
what
dope.
What you say is that you couldn't see me?
You didn't even see yourself.
I saw it the whole time.
We are the best.
I didn't want to say anything, but I saw it the whole time.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you did.
We are the best.
Here, can we make the picture bigger? That's why I couldn't see it. It's so small.
Make the picture bigger.
Jeez.
That's hilarious.
No, looks like Todd to me.
I can't make Todd any bigger. What a shame.
Whoa.
Oh, boy.
Should the Broncos have made that move? We know they have the cap space, but what did Patrick Queen get? He got 3 years, $41 million with the Steelers. Should the Broncos have matched that?
No, we're rebuilding.
Exactly.
And I don't think that he would be here once it was built.
Yeah.
So
it would be fun, though.
Be nice three years.
Like if they did, I'd be like, oh, this is awesome. But if I was using my brain, I would say don't do that probably. Yeah.
Okay, so let me run through a couple of the top free agents on the board. And do any speak, because we know that Broncos are in rebuilding right now, do any of them appeal to you enough that you're like, damn, screw the rebuild. Let's go get this guy. Calvin Ridley, wide receiver.
What do you think?
No.
PTSD. I like him.
AJ Dillon.
You have to like him, yeah.
AJ Dillon or J.K. Dobbins, running backs.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
No.
No.
You just can't justify it. I mean, you have your running backs. If you were going to make changes and go after Saquon or Josh Jacobs, I would understand why, but I don't think those guys are enough of an upgrade to just turn over that entire room.
Speaking of Josh Jacobs, thank you for leaving the AFC West because you terrorized the Broncos in your time here. Now the Broncos don't have to worry about him anymore.
Yep.
Enjoy.
Yep.
Green Bay? Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, going from Vegas to Green Bay, that's a lifestyle
change. He goes in that list of running backs, though. That it's like him, like Jamal Charles, Priest Holmes, Larry Johnson, LaDainte, like there's those guys who just beat the Broncos so many times that it just burned in my memory.
Yeah.
It's like I'll never forget about Priest Holmes.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, the way Josh Jacobs played against the Broncos,
yeah,
Hall of Famer. Yeah,
totally.
But he just didn't bring that to other teams, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Okay, now some guys on the front seven on defense. Chase Young.
No.
Jadeveon Clowney?
Old. Younger Jadeveon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Eric Armstead, a guy that I think the 49ers are officially releasing today.
I would take him.
For the right price, yeah.
I would
take him. That solves your interior pass rush problem.
Him partnered with Roach? Man.
Yeah.
Even in the rebuild, you'd take him?
Yeah, I would take him.
Because they
yeah,
just have like a solid Allen, really Armstead, help. Jones, Roach, Henning's in, and then you got to find
too
one
many
more
guys.
Guy.
But
I mean, but if you're saying 40% of snaps for Roach. Like,
yeah, but
there's a way to rotate it.
It's 40. I think it's 40% partly because of our offensive personnel. Like I said, like he's not
fair.
The best in 11 personnel, two
yeah.
linemen on the field.
It
he's
also,
more of a base guy. So I think offense is run primarily 11 personnel mm-hmm. nowadays. So that would cause for, you know, him to be on the field less.
And I think where it would really be weird is just like you get to third down and you're rushing four. And one of Jones, Allen, and Armstead's on the sideline, it does feel like a waste. Like, if you can't get them all out there together, then you are kind of wasting money in a way.
Yeah.
And then safety, Broncos don't need to do that. And we talked about cornerback earlier. So any names that pop out to you just around the league that you'd want?
Wait, what corners? Because we said we did need the corner, right?
There's Kendall Fuller.
Okay.
There's Stephon Gilmore, Xavien Howard, Adoree Jackson, Tre'Davious White, Christian Fulton, and Akilah Weatherspoon.
I mean, Akilah Weatherspoon back to Denver. I mean, he played at CU. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
I don't know that it would be a move that I would make, but we could talk about that, I guess. Kendall Fuller, good but old. Stephon Gilmore, great but old. Xavien Howard, not good but younger. Potentially not good. The vibes are that he's not good anymore. I'm not totally sold. Adoree Jackson, fast but not good. Tre'Davious White, good, but gets injured. I mean, you can kind of take your pick. I could get behind any of them.
I think for me, I think the Broncos are going to give Riley Moss every opportunity to win that second outside corner spot opposite Pat Surtain. So I think it would be not a big name.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a guy that they would say, yeah, you're going to be a starter and come in. It's going to be a backup that's going to come in. Veteran depth for Riley Moss.
Yeah.
What's that smile?
I know. I think I'm excited to see if Riley Moss can do it.
Why? Why are you a little curious if you can do it, Tom?
No, I think it'd be dope. You know what I'm saying?
It would be dope. Yeah,
he'd be the only in the league. Yes, that's dope.
Yeah, he'd be the only in the league in a long time.
Oh, yeah, in a while. What's crazy? Jason Sehorn is. In back-to-back years, there's going to be an Iowa cornerback drafted and then likely playing because Cooper DeJean is going to be a second-round pick. So he's going to start, too, this year.
He's another
from the same program.
Hey, I like it. I like
he
it.
He could be
dope.
A good fit for the Broncos, too, because, like, I don't mind the Broncos taking a guy who's going to drop because he's injured. Like, Cooper DeJean might just be the best corner in the draft, but you tear your ACL and all of a sudden, like, is he going to play the first half of the year? Who knows? If he slips to like the second round and you can go up and get him, Broncos are in no rush.
Yeah, I see it. That's dope.
Having but both if, on one team? That would be wild.
Now there's something wrong. Now I think there's an
issue.
There's
something
right
underlying.
There's an underlying issue.
We are the best. We are the best.
Don't think we're doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, it reminds me to Sean, right when the Broncos drafted Riley Moss, literally in that press conference with Sean Payton, our friend Brandon Cristal was asking him about the white cornerback with Riley Moss, but asking it in a convoluted way. Yeah, so he wasn't saying it. And Sean just kind of cuts him off and says, "You're talking about him being a white cornerback?" And was like, yeah.
So it's like, it's been a while, you know, like kind of a unique situation. I mean, like since Jason Sehorn, you were actually his coach.
Uh-huh.
Sean's just like, "The question is white cornerback." It's like, yeah. The question is white cornerback.
And I really think that they're going to give him that opportunity to do that. So we'll see there. The thumbs up have been coming in, so we really appreciate that. Thank you. And do we have a couple of other questions as well to get to? No other questions, although the screen says otherwise.
The chat
you hear.
Failed?
The screen says you favorited two questions. Oh, those are the super chats. Okay, that's my bad. I'll take the L.
Any random
on
questions?
The way out there.
What about Trey Lance as a question?
What about him?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I'm at.
No. Yeah. Give me Mac Jones instead of Trey Lance, but that's not happening. So, but we didn't talk quarterbacks today.
Thank God.
Because we're going to talk about them tomorrow. So, Henry, you sitting this one out?
I'll be here.
Because there's a new twist with the quarterbacks. We're not going to be talking about quarterbacks that we've talked about before. One quarterback I think Broncos country is going to love could now maybe be a realistic option for the Broncos. And then a quarterback that I think Broncos country is going to hate is maybe even more realistic option for the Broncos. We're going to get into those guys tomorrow and look at other free agent quarterbacks that are still out there, and maybe the Broncos just aren't going to make a move. We'll break it all down tomorrow. Everyone who's in the Denver metro area, stay safe tonight. Big snowstorm coming. They're saying like 10 to 20 inches. They're saying some places in the mountains could get like 40 inches of snow. That is insane. So stay safe, stay warm. And we'll be back tomorrow on the DNVR Broncos podcast.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.